Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie Johnson. I'm joined by Mike the Birdman Dodd. Say hi, Mike. That is the greatest intro ever. I'm not wearing a shirt today.
I'm not wearing any pants. Together we form naked. It's true.
So some sort of crazy superhero that runs around with nothing on.
Exactly. We have the power of Dingus. That is our mighty power.
Hitting people with your neck. Just baseball bat.
Yep, there you go. Wang time.
Oh, God. Have you watched One Punch Man?
No. You know, everybody talks about that, but I've never seen it.
It's one of those where he's a character that he's just so overpowered, but for some reason you can't stop watching because it's funny. And all I can basically, he can kill anybody, anything with one punch. He's that powerful.
That's ridiculous. And I love it.
I just thought of One Punch Man plus Dingus Man. So a guy that runs around just smokes people with his dick, and it's a one-hit KO. Just smoke anybody.
And that's how we're kicking off 2016, folks, with a dick joke.
We're classy.
We are. We are professionals in the highest sense of the word. But hey, it's the internet. We can do what we want when we want. Bringing some professionalism to this podcast since never.
Since never. Anyway, today we're going to talk about 2015. I know everybody wants it already gone. It's don't want to think about it anymore, but we had some really good games and some really bad games in 2015. We got to talk about them. We also got to talk about what's coming out in 2016, or at least our hopes. I mean, some of these games might not even come out. They might be pushed back. You never know. So, where do you want to start, Dodd?
Do you want to start
chronologically, or just start shooting random numbers?
Let's just kind of start shooting random numbers. Although, the first game that I want to talk about actually came out in January of last year. This one was an unexpected surprise for me, actually, because I remember I hated it for about the first couple of hours, and then I couldn't stop playing it for the good part of probably 2.5 months. I'm still waiting for some DLC for it, and that one was...
I'm in suspense here, because usually when you hate a game, you fucking hate it.
Oh, yeah, like this one is just like, ugh. But no, this one took me a little bit by surprise. It's Warner Brothers Games. They had a game called Dying Light, which was like Assassin's Creed, but with zombies. It was like parkour zombies.
You didn't like Dying Light at the start?
At the start, because I was so weak, and then... I'm such a pussy, so I just started using exploits so I could dupe all my weapons and stuff.
Oh, God.
But then it got really fun, especially because I wasn't worried so much about dying, so I could actually build my own weapons and stockpile, like, ammo and shit. And just exploring the city, especially once you get, like, that grappling hook or whatever the hell it is, and you're basically Batman, but with zombies. Yeah.
Zombies is the best thing ever.
It really is. I mean, I found, and then just finding little hidden secrets in that game. I love the fact I've never had a game where literally it had that sense of tension where it was like, you need to get inside now, especially when you're being chased by those glowing zombies and the ones that can run across the roofs after you.
Yeah, it's like one of the first times where nighttime actually felt scary in a zombie game. Like every other game, it's like, oh, it's nighttime. It's a little bit harder to see the zombies. They're coming at you.
Yeah.
But this is, they straight up evolve into crazy nightmares at night. Like even when you get to the point of being like overpowered, you're still like, shit, it's night. I'm getting inside. Screw this. I'm out.
I actually had one of my best experiences on Xbox Live with this game. Now, when I played it in January, not a lot of people were playing the multiplayer, the whole the zombie mode, because it was like a pre-order bonus or something. And I remember I was playing it one afternoon. I think it was like a Tuesday or something. And I was randomly playing with some kid from Australia. And for some reason, I could hear him, but he couldn't hear me because I didn't have a microphone plugged into my like headset or whatever. And he kept talking to me. He's like, please stop killing me. But then eventually we found a way to communicate with each other where I would walk back and forth for yes, jump up and down for no. And I would clear out areas for him. And he's like, hey, mate, that was really fun. And I found a way to say goodbye. I think I was playing as, like, the tongue zombie or something. And, like, I remember jumping away. or something. But I just remember having a really fun time being
if it's creative or just fucked up.
It was so much fun, and I haven't had an Xbox Live experience like that in a number of years. And like, and it wasn't just some kid calling me like racial names or how he wants to, you know, screw my mom or something. It was nice. It was really, really, really pleasant. And the guy was really nice. If he'd been a dick to me, yeah, I would have totally screwed him over. But he's like, please stop. I just want to play. I'm like, all right, I'll watch your back. And it was just surprisingly fun. And
played that mode. Like, I tried playing the multiplayer because a buddy of mine bought it for me and like three other friends. So we all tried to get onto the multiplayer. This is back when I just had the laptop. So this was the very first game where I'm like, crap, my laptop is now out of date. It cannot run Dying Light well. Like, I would go into the multiplayer or even the single player. I'd have all the settings to the very bottom and it would just be running at like 10 frames a second. But I still played it at 10 frames a second, kept killing zombies, trying to play with them because he bought the game for me. I'm like, I'm not going to not play this with you. You bought it for me. He's like, it sounds really painful. I'm like, oh, it is, but I'm going to keep playing. And even though, like, it was the worst experience hardware-wise, the game was still really fun. So I'm actually was thinking, like, last week, I was like, I need to go back and, like, do a whole run-through of that game.
Yeah, it may be something I actually may go back and revisit, because I know the Season's Pass is still active for that game. There's supposed to be a new piece of DLC dropping sometime in the next couple of months, where it's like it basically expands the game out to an entirely new area, new weapons, new story stuff. So I'm interested. I'll probably end up getting it. I didn't get the Season's Pass for it, though I did buy the things a la carte, which really wasn't worth it, truthfully. The DLC for that game was kind of weak at best, but that's okay because the core experience was so good.
It's one of those games, if you like zombies and you like having a like open world RPG where you're leveling up and everything, it's kind of like in the sense of Fallout, being able to level up all that and have your own pathing of how you want to level your character. If you like any of those qualities of a game, this game is definitely for you.
Yeah, it's something unexpectedly fun, and if you can find the game cheap, definitely check it out.
I don't remember what the ratings were for. Was it underrated or overrated?
I think it was probably middle of the road. I remember seeing a lot of sevens and eights for it. I saw a couple of nines for it, but I'd give the game about a solid 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah, for sure.
Another couple of games that came out that month that were probably worth kind of mentioning. We got the port for Resident Evil Remastered. I was very pleased to see that. Especially since now we're going to get Resident Evil 2 remade at some point in the next couple of years.
Capcom can do now is remaster. Oh my god.
I want Nemesis remade. That'd be friggin' fantastic.
It's funny because, like, we've had an episode where we're, like, talking about games we want remastered, and now, like, they're remastering a lot of games, and I'm just, like, sick of them remastering things.
See, I'm okay as long as they add something a little new to it. Like, for example, with Gears of War Remastered, which came out in, like, August, I think, that game looked good, but and they updated some of the mechanics of it, but in terms of what we could have got, okay, yay. We have it on Xbox One, whatever. I wasn't super thrilled about it, but
I liked it, but yeah. I mean, yeah. I know where you're coming from.
Yeah, it's the same game you played back in 2006, whoopee-doo. But the game aged well, things considered. Other games that came out, kind of a disappointment, but I still had fun with it anyway, was Saints Row 4 Re-Elected, and then there was the Gat Out of Hell. The thing that pissed me off the most about it, despite having fun with it for, like, I think it was maybe, like, 8 hours with it.
Was it the dildo bat not being big enough? All know how much you like dildo.
Of course. It's the fact that the story doesn't matter if you're playing as the chick, Kinsey, because when you go into the final battle against Satan, you turn back into Johnny Gat, no matter what. So if you spent the entire game as Kinsey, it doesn't matter. And that kind of pissed me off. And they do have unique dialogue For each section of the game. So if you really want to go back and hear it, you can go back and replay it. But it was still fun. It was fun, though. Other things that came out that month that I think are worth talking about. We talked about this last time, I think it was. I think it was Life is Strange. It was it's on sale right now, or at least as of this recording. I don't know if it's still on sale on Xbox One. I kind of want to get it, but I just don't know if I can spend the $20 right now.
It came in multiple parts, didn't it?
Yeah, it was like episodic, and it's supposedly really, really good. So I may get around to picking that up. Maybe at some point it'll be on sale again. Moving on to February, this game let me down so hard. I wanted this game to be awesome. I remember seeing this game premiering at E3. It looked amazeballs. This game should be so awesome. Victorian, no, I'll get to that. But this game, it had such hype. It had Victorian era, steampunky, werewolves, the Knights of the Round Table fighting them with Nikola Tesla inventions. The Order 1866 sucked. You could beat this game in just under 6 hours, probably closer to four.
Like, their trailer made it look so good.
Oh, yeah. Like, it cut an amazing trailer. The concept is really cool. But in execution, you fight, I think, maybe four werewolves in the entire game. I'm pretty sure. Less than 10. I know that for sure. The last boss battle, if I remember correctly, is a repeat of the first boss battle.
What?
Yeah, it sucks. And you're fighting people with guns 90% of the time. Just, it sucks. This game should have been so badass. This should have been a must-own for the PlayStation 4. And if this is an example of high concept that didn't live up to expectations, this is definitely it. Probably one of the biggest disappointments of last year, without a doubt. So let's talk.
I don't know. Evolve was a pretty big disappointment.
Say that's where I'm headed next. Evolve. This one. I think if it had a decent single player, maybe it would have done better. And Evolve, for those of you that don't know, it's this multiplayer only shooter, really. And you're basically play as a team of four or five hunters. And you're capturing monsters. And because it's always online, there's always people playing the hunters, always people playing the monsters. And
it's a 4v1 game that is very similar to like the Left 4 Dead series, except for rather than 4v4, it's 4v1.
Yeah, and normally as the monster, you will have a ridiculous advantage. Because once you get up to your like third form, you're really friggin' powerful. And this is a game where you need to have teamwork. You need to have not people running off being cowboys or pulling Leroy Jenkins on each other. You need to work together. And this game, once again, cool concept. The world looks fantastic. The game should have been really awesome. And if there was a game that ever took advantage of you with its Seasons Pass, did you know there were two Seasons Passes for this thing?
I did not. That's bullshit.
Yeah, like you got the one Seasons Pass for like $30, and then you could buy another one in June for another $30.
That's not even a full season.
Like, Jesus. And just, there were so many different versions of the game, which would include, here, you get X amount of skins, you get this new monster, be the behemoth or whatever. And it's, once again, cool concept, cool idea, but the world, I think at large, or at least the console generation, it's not made for these multiplayer-only shooters. We saw this with Titanfall, which really should have been more successful than what it actually was.
I don't agree, though, because Titanfall actually was really successful.
Yeah, but its player population dropped off dramatically within 3 months.
That's true, but that's been happening with a lot of games.
Yeah, but you see, you don't see that drop-off in COD. You don't see that drop-off in, say, Halo. You see it in multiplayer only things. Oh, I still see
the drop-off in Halo.
Well,
not as bad.
Yeah, but you get where I'm kind of coming from with this.
See, Halo's the first one that's done it really well, where it's the DLC to continue playing and everything is now free, so you don't have to worry about paying for it. So you're like, yeah, I'm going to keep playing because the next content's coming up, and they're like trying to do like monthly releases on stuff.
Well, that, and you get rec packs free anyway. Yeah, which I think is a really smart idea. But the thing with Evolve and things like Titanfall, the ideas are really fantastic. Whereas Titanfall had an advantage over Evolve where it actually had a single-player campaign, which ultimately didn't mean jack shit because the world was not fleshed out enough. It just, it left you wanting more. But hopefully with Titanfall 2, which hopefully will be announced at E3 this year, we'll wait and see. And we saw another big letdown with this, Star Wars Battlefront, which, whoa, believe me, I've got some bones to pick with that one. But also with Rainbow Six Siege, a game that should, if, like, a Tom Clancy game to launch without a single-player campaign is like having a hamburger, but without the hamburger.
Well, especially... It sucks because Rainbow Six Siege is, like, from everything I've seen, I haven't picked it up myself, but everything I've watched, it looks like a phenomenal game.
It's really good.
But the thing is it's like, you got the multiplayer, but you, because it's a Rainbow Six game, you're like, I really want this experience in single player as well, or maybe a co-op. And, like, it's, you'll play it, and you'll play it, and play it, and play it, and then you'll just get bored of it. Like, well, not even bored of it. You just, you'll hop onto something else. When it comes to all these online-only games, it's going towards that whole, like, ADD that the current generation has. Where, like, we hop into a game, play the living shit out of it for 2 weeks, and then we're like, okay, look, a new game that came out that is online-only. I'm gonna go play it now and completely forget that first one existed.
Like, the thing...
You had tons of them.
Like, the thing is, with the Tom Clancy games... I expect a story. Like, look at Splinter Cell. Look at the previous Rainbow Six games. The story, the world they create from Tom Clancy, I mean, God rest his soul, he created such a real version of what intelligence agencies and counterterrorism people deal with that the worlds were interesting. It hooked you in. With this one, you get the chick from How to Get Away with Murder narrating at you, and... The black guy from Pacific Rim in the commercials yelling at you. It's just, it should be a lot better. I mean, the core game itself is cool, but unless you have really good teammates, it sucks because just, it should be more. It's not. It makes me mad that things are released like that without having a decent single player campaign. I'd much rather wait 6 months to have a game that's more fully fleshed out than have one that's going to ship on time with just a multiplayer. Or if you're going to do that, you don't have a right to charge $60 for it. Maybe 40, maybe 50 if it's really high concept and it's really good. Okay, I'm willing to live with that. But not at full retail and not with the season's pass bullshit.
See... I don't know. I'm conflicted on this still because, like, yes, I'm upset with them not having stuff like a single player in a Tom Clancy game. But at the same time, the gameplay of what they said it was going to be and what it is fucking phenomenal. So it's like, yeah, I kind of agree with you. Maybe it's not worth $70 to $75 Canadian because that's how much we have to pay. But maybe a $50 title or something because it's not got that single player that we expect. But at the same time, are we getting too greedy as an actual gaming populace? Like, this is a phenomenal game, but we're still sitting here being like, it's shit because it didn't give me this. And it's like, they promised exactly what they gave. And usually we're bashing people for being like, oh, you said it was going to be this and it's not this. Like, you know, order whatever the hell number it was. Like... Technically, they delivered exactly what they said. The people that bought it got what they wanted. We want more. I feel like we're starting to get that to that point where it's like, we just want.
I don't know. I look at a game like Star Wars Battlefront, and that's my counterpoint to that. We should have got more for what we paid. But we'll get to that. Other games that came out in that month that were worthy of mentioning... The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D, great port, fixed the controls for you. It was really good. Another one, this surprised the hell out of me, was Dragon Ball Xenoverse. Unexpectedly fun, and probably the best Dragon Ball Z game they've ever released.
I never got to play it.
It was a lot of fun. I didn't expect to have as much as I did. Like, being able to create my own Saiyan was really cool. I had, like, Trunks' jacket, Vegeta's scouter, Android 17's pants and shirt or something like that. It was just really fun.
And please tell me there was an emote that if you had a scouter, you could break it and crush it and scream it's over 9,000.
My God, I didn't even think about that. That would have been great. But they do recreate that moment for you in there. Plus, but, just like, a lot of the fantasy battles are really fun, too.
Just saying, like, since it was an online battle thing, assumably you could do taunts and stuff. Should have had the ability to be like, rip your scouter off, break it, and scream it's over 9,000. That would have been, like, the ultimate thing they could have ever done.
Maybe it's there and I didn't see it. And once again, another great online experience with this, because there was one of these matches that you need to have two people to do to access another one of these hidden matches in the game. Like, you have to beat, like, I think you have to beat Broly by having Gohan and Trunks die or something, and you have to beat him in under, like, 30 minutes, or, like, 3 minutes or something. It's some really complicated
sentence. You have to beat him under 30 minutes.
There are sections like that where it's damn tough. There are a few tough fights in that game. But anyway, there was this kid that I ran into in the game, and I don't know, every so often I'd log in the Dragon Ball, and because he'd always show up in my recent players list, I would just send him stuff. Because in that game, you can send each other gifts, so I'd send him extra clothes, I think I sent him, like a Dragon Ball or something at, like, one point. It was really fun, and this kid is still on my friends list today. I haven't talked with him since that day, but he's there. And I do consider that a really positive experience. Just, like, it wasn't a competitive thing. We wanted to help each other out, and so we did. And he sent me messages on Xbox Live saying, oh my God, thank you so much. Now I have this item to craft X or whatever. And I'm thinking, all right, that is really cool. Thank you for not being a douche nugget about things. So I thought that was really, really, really fun with Dragon Ball Xenoverse. Definitely underappreciated from last year.
There needs to be a game that is built around the concept of trying to, like, screw over trolls and jerks and thanking players that are, like, good people. Because there's not enough of that in current gaming. Like, say, like, playing League of Legends. You can honor your allies and be like, oh, yeah, you were actually cool and all that. But nobody really ever does it. And most people are always fucking toxic in almost any experience. Like, when you find those golden gems where somebody's actually a nice person and just wants to have fun, like, just straight up be like, yo, send them a message and be like, you're awesome. Thanks for being a cool person.
Yeah, just exactly. I guess kind of moving on to March here, there was a lot of stuff that came out in March. One game, I wanted to get into this. I really did, because everybody talks about how great these games are, and they're the same guys who made the Dark Souls series.
Oh, Bloodborne.
Yeah, didn't care. Not one lick.
I don't have a PS4. It's the one console I don't have yet. I'm waiting for, like, Final Fantasy 15 or Kingdom Hearts 3 to come out, and I'm going to buy, assumably, a special version of the PS4 with graphics on it. Hoping. Because, you know, Japan always gets that, and we don't. But I've heard, like, nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, it's just not my thing.
But everything that I've heard is, like, if you like Dark Souls,
you'll like this.
The idea of having guns, then you'll like this, because it's Dark Souls with guns. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about that. Because, like, thinking about all my Dark Souls and Demon Souls and all that experience is, if I had guns in there, will I be overpowered?
Or yeah, no.
Do the enemies have guns too? Because if so, then yeah, that sounds horrible.
Get fucked. It's a game where you die every 5 seconds. So I'm presuming, sure, you have a shotgun. It's not going to do much for you, but you have it. Another game that came out worth mentioning, because it won so many awards last year, is Ori and the Blind Forest.
It's on sale right now, and I want to buy it, but I'm, like, penny pinching for the new apartment.
Yeah, it's worth it. This game is gorgeous. And
it won all sorts of awards and stuff, like best, what was it, creative direction or visual direction?
Something like
that. Basically the artwork. It looks phenomenal.
And it's a good game, too. I mean, I'm, like, playing through it now, and it's worth it. I mean, if you got a day or two to kill, just play it. It's really, really worth it. Other notable games that came out that month, Mario Party 10, who gives a crap?
I'm sure there's a whole bunch of 16-year-old girls that are, like, really upset that you are not talking about Mario Party 10.
One game that came out, it was ported to...
Just ignore
it. It was ported to PC, and it came out a while ago, but it was Assassin's Creed Rogue, one of the best Assassin's Creed games that nobody talks about. Like, the main protagonist in that game, Shay Cormac, he's an assassin that turns into a Templar, and you see the world from their point of view, and you have to wonder, are the assassins right after all? So, I had a lot of fun with that, and that came out on PC in March of that year. See,
my list I'm not doing like chronologically, and I feel like you might have skipped some of these. Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate for 3DS.
Good experience. Very good experience.
Really fun. It can get a bit grindy near the end, but it's probably one of the best, like, large monster hunting experiences you can get in a video game. It's also my first Monster Hunter game, so, like, it was really good. I just want to see that on, like, my Wii U or something. Give me a reason to turn that thing on. I like Monster Hunter 5 or something over here, because I think all the Monster Hunters, like, the numbers without the Ultimates are all released in, like, Japan, but we don't usually get them. Yeah. And then we get the Ultimate version, which is always on a handheld. Give me one for the big TV with an actual controller. Fuck, I hated using the 3DS. It was just so small, and it was really hard to beat. Like, I played a ranged class, so I was like, I didn't have a 3DS, a new 3DS, for a little extra thing, so it was hard as hell to play a shooter on that friggin' thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, end rant.
Anyway, moving on to April of last year, games that came out that were notable for me. I'm trying to think of any. Well, there was Xenoblade Chronicles 3D for the new 3DS, one of the two games that uses the new 3DS hardware acceleration.
What's the other one?
Binding of Isaac, which I really do want to get around to playing, which because it looks really cool.
That used the new 3DS's functions?
Yep.
But...
Yay.
Okay, that...
Party on, right?
Well, technically, Monster Hunter 4 had a improved graphics on the new 3DS.
Yeah. Other games...
Specifically require it.
Other games that are probably worth mentioning was Mortal Kombat X. Great fighter. Great DLC for it. Although people did give it bullshit because of the easy fatalities. I'm totally fine with it. Absolutely fine with it. If I want to spend $5 so I can watch you have your head ripped off, I'm okay with that. You know why? It's my money. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, especially, like, because I'm sorry. If you're a casual player and you're like, I really want to see the fatalities. They look really cool. I have an extra $5.
Yeah, who cares?
Why be angry with those people that can't sit there and go, like, memorize every single character's finisher move? Like, I want to see Sub-Zero freeze a guy and smash him and shit. Like, I don't want to have to be like, million button combination. Okay, I fucked up.
Exactly. Like, I mean, yeah, it's more forgiving than it ever has been. For, like, compare that to, like, say, Mortal Kombat 2 or 3. Yeah, who cares? Like, ultimately, it's $5, or you can spend $20, unlock everything in the dungeon, which I did. Because you know what? I don't have the time. I want the content, and I'm willing to pay for it. And some people are going to be saying, oh, but Mike, it encourages microtransactions. Yes. Yes, it does. But sometimes, if you're like me and you're busy... Or, frankly, for people that just aren't that good, why should they be denied the content in there because of lack of skill? If money can make up for skill, and it's not like it's pay to win. It's pay to have content unlocked for you. There's no, like, hey, spend $5, here's this magical gun, where if you look at something, let's say, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, that kind of did become pay the win, because you look at a gun like, say, the Obsidian Steed or the Speakeasy versus the base BAL 27 or the ASM-1. Yeah, those guns are markedly better stat-wise. So, it is pay to win, whereas Mortal Kombat X, not really.
I think we talk about microtransactions more than anything on this show, but it's a hot topic. I mean, when it comes down to it, I like the route that Halo has gone, and like other, it's basically microtransactions should be something that it's either a shortcut that does not give you an advantage, skins, stuff that like Halo right now, they have the ability to shortcut getting rec packs. The entire game is like all the DLC that's coming and stuff is all going to be free, but they have these rec packs that if people want to buy them, they can, or you can earn them in the game. If you have that time to just keep blowing, you can get all the stuff free. If you don't, or you want to just keep throwing money because you have a really good job and less time or whatever, you can. It doesn't really affect the gameplay that much. And it goes towards tournaments. That is the smartest shit ever. Like, hey, we get money. We don't have to charge people for DLC. And most of the money is going towards giant-ass tournaments for the community to enjoy. Like, I don't know. Microtransactions, they suck whenever they're done wrong. They're great when they're done right.
Yeah.
They're never going to go away. So we just have to, like, just deal with it. They're not going away. We just need companies to do it right.
Yeah, like, it sucks that they're becoming more and more a thing. I mean, like, right now in Assassin's Creed Syndicate, there's a lot more microtransactions than there were in Unity. It's kind of pissing me off because, like, man, if I could just spend $50, I could have everything I want and just walk through this and still get the story, which is what I really wanted for. But at the same time, well, I've already bought it.
Games I don't agree with having fucking microtransactions. That's stupid. I'm buying a game for single-player experience. Give me everything that there is to fucking have. If there's a multiplayer and I want to buy skins or something, cool. Do that microtransaction. I don't care. I won't buy them. But don't limit my single-player experience that I have paid $70 for.
But at the same time, you don't need to have it. It's just it can make it easier if you're like me and you don't necessarily have time.
Well, okay, so it's stuff like, because I didn't play the newest Assassin's Creed. It's just stuff that
extra money, extra crafting items, stuff like that. That's it.
So really, it's stuff that you can obtain in the game.
Exactly, which is what I'm doing right now.
And that's fine.
Yeah. A big game that came out in May of last year was The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, which I just bought on sale through Xbox Live's big Boxing Day event. So I got everything except the Season's Pass for like $34, I think. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm not sure if the sale's still on, but Witcher 1, 2, and 3 was like $30 Canadian on Steam right now.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it won Game of the Year. Yeah. So,
another one, I guess, kind of moving on. There isn't really a whole lot else to talk about from May of last year, at least that I care about, really.
Did you end up playing Final Fantasy Type-0? I didn't get it because
no.
I wanted to get it.
Oh, no. Before. I did think of one game that came out last May that did make a pretty big splash. I thought it came out earlier in the year. Splatoon. For the Wii U. Unexpectedly good shooter. It was a little lacking at first, but it was still really, really, really fun.
It's one of those shooters that is fun for the sake of fun, rather than the sake of angering each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's a game that doesn't require the intricacies of CSGO, or like, here's like COD search and destroy, like, type of coordination. No, it's just, get together, guys, cover the area and ink, have fun.
It's a really cute concept, too. Like, it's got that whole PvP of you're shooting each other, but you're not killing each other. You sort of are.
You're
like,
exploding in the ink, I guess.
But yeah, like, you're shooting ink at each other. So it's like the first kid-friendly kind of shooter that you can really think of that it's done well. Which is a good thing for gaming.
Yeah. So that was surprising last year.
I just thought about so many jokes about inking somebody.
Yeah.
Let's go play Splatoon so I can ink you. Even the name Splatoon. Oh, God, so many jokes. I'm leaving. I'm
going to ink all over your face. last June, one of the best games I played last year, definitely in my top five of last year, Batman Arkham Knight. Amazing Xbox One, PS4, but the real joy was on PC.
It was the best game on PC this year. Totally. Yep.
And although I did like seeing some of the stuff that came out of the mod community for it, or they'd find really weird glitches. The fact that somebody beat the game as Alfred is kind of amazing. But yeah, there are just so many ridiculous things wrong with the PC port, and Warner Brothers knew it. They were rushing these guys to get this port out, and that is just unacceptable on so many levels. Like, they knew this port was going to be bad, and they still pushed it out the door anyway. I mean, it even got so bad where they stopped selling the game on Steam. It didn't get reinstated until later in the year, and then Warner Brothers just kind of tossed up their hands and said, all right, fuck it. If you want a refund, here you go. Wow. How you botch something like that. One of the most anticipated titles in a series. The series conclusion is beyond me. And that game, I will...
It causes people to fucking rush things out. And then, like, I'm sorry, but... This day and age, they really need to go back to the old, like, quality assurance first.
It'll be done when it's done, as opposed to it'll be done by this date or else we lose our bonus on Metacritic or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's so stupid. Like, I understand, because I've done all the paperwork and stuff for how, like, game development works and how much money it can cost a large company every day that you aren't releasing it on time. But the thing is you're going to lose more money in the long run from releasing something bad, because people are, one, they're going to want a refund at some point, or you're going to have to patch the living shit out of that. You're going to get bad scores, and people are going to lose faith in your company. That is the worst part that you can have, is people being like, they released a broken game last time. I'm not buying the next one. It's probably going to be shit.
Yeah, like, it was just one of those things that there should have been a lot more QA. They should have been held a lot more accountable than what they were. And it sucks, because PC players missed out on one of the best games of last year. Another game that came out that was a lot of fun, I kind of wonder if this formula is wearing a little thin, which really disappoints me, but LEGO Jurassic World. It's a fun game, and the fact that it goes across all four movies is really fun. The fact that I can now have a Jeff Goldblum racing simulator makes me so happy.
Jeff Goldblum. Sounds like some sort of amazing alcohol.
It was awesome. I had Jeff Goldblum and I think, like, Wayne Knight or, like, Dennis Nedry's character in a buddy cop picture in my head, just driving around Jurassic Park in one of those, like, Jurassic Park Jeeps. And it was amazing. I had, like, Beastie Boy Sabotage playing at the same time. But yeah.
Honestly, I don't think any type of LEGO game will ever, like, wear thin. LEGO's always fun. The games they produce are always fun.
Well, we'll see what happens with LEGO Avengers this month.
That's true.
When that releases, but wait,
is it Avengers or I thought it was Universe?
No, it's just LEGO Avengers, and it covers, like, the latter half of Marvel's Phase 2. So, like, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Thor: The Dark World, Winter Soldier, Ant-Man. I think, I'm not sure, stuff like that, but nothing before, like, Civil War, or nothing after Civil
Universe
War.
For some reason, is that a movie coming out?
I don't know, honestly. Another game that came now, you might be able to talk more about this because I have no idea. Final Fantasy 14 Heaven's Ward came out. What was that about?
Okay, so before Heaven's Ward came out, I had stated that the content that keeps being released for Final Fantasy 14 is the same shit, different skin, over and over and over. I said if Heaven's Ward does not deliver something different, like drastically different, and it just keeps recycling the same shit with a different look, I will quit the game. And it's really hard for me to quit a Final Fantasy MMO. I played Final Fantasy 11 for fucking 8 years. Final Fantasy 14, we had Heaven's Ward drop. There was all kinds of new flashy bells and whistles. We all were really into it, and we're just like, after a couple months of smashing our face on the newest, hardest content, which is actually the hardest content I've ever played in a game, and that's saying something coming from a difficulty junkie like me. We couldn't beat it. Most people in the world could not beat it. There's like a 3% or less, maybe it was like a 1% that actually managed to beat that content. And then they got to a point where they're like, we're going to release new content that's easier, that gives you the better rewards than what that fight gave you.
That sucks. So,
as soon as they did that, I went to my group and I said, I'm done. Like, we're not, like, we're quitting. Like, everybody in the group except for, like, two people were like, we're done with this game.
We're out.
So it doesn't matter now. They, like, we're just straight up like, fuck it. Who cares? So now I'm having the time of my life playing other games again. I forgot what it's like to be a fucking gamer that plays whatever the hell you want rather than one specific game mostly.
It's so freeing, isn't it? Other games that came out, nothing really that I played. There was J All-Stars Victory, which is like this Japanese fighting game, which has like all these like anime characters in it. I got it, but I didn't play it. Which sucks. I just thought
something. Wasn't there? There was a Battlefield game. It was Hardline.
Yeah, Hardline.
Where did that even go?
I think that came out in March. I want to say, let me take a look, because I've got it here. I'm just looking for it.
I don't remember any hype about that game. Like,
you know what's funny about Battlefield Hardline? I actually had a lot of fun with that game. The problem is with it is Battlefield and cops don't necessarily go together. Now, if you were a SWAT operator, maybe, because at one point in the game, you get taken to jail and you're no longer a cop, but you can still arrest people. So I was literally going around levels, just stealthing the entire time. Go, you're under arrest. You're under arrest. You're under arrest. I'm like the Punisher, except I don't kill people. It was ridiculous. And it had microtransactions out the ass too, which it has. It also had like some kind of a season's pass for it. I don't know. I got it. I remember buying it. Because I wanted to have a different Battlefield experience.
I'm surprised that you played it, because I don't remember you telling me anything about it. And I don't remember, like, I literally just thought of it. I'm like, there was supposed to be a Battlefield game that came out. I don't remember hearing anything about it. Was it literally that under the radar, or was I just, like, in a drunken stupor in a ditch somewhere?
You know what? It didn't cause much of a wave when it landed. I mean, it was, I think the game was received okay.
Kind of makes me wonder if people have lost faith because of the Battlefield 4 launch incident.
Well, at least Battlefield 4 was a good game outside of that bullshit. But Battlefield Hardline, it's just, at best. August had a bunch of really good games come out. Rare Replay, 30... classic Rare games on Xbox One, fantastic value. One of the best values on the system. And the fact that we get to play Blast Core on an Xbox before the Wii U is a little bit mind-blowing. I think, anyway.
I don't think I've ever played Blast Core.
It's fun. It's hard, but it's fun. Another game that came out during that month was Zombie, which was another game that was from the Wii U on the Xbox One now, and PS4, and
it's Wii U, and now they called it just Zombie.
Yeah, just Zombie. Although I would argue it's better on the Wii U because of the gamepad integration. I just think because it adds so much more to it, but it's still a fantastic game. I mean, it's definitely worth picking up. I would say. I'm trying to figure. I'm just looking at a list here, see what else came out that month that really kind of grabbed me right by the balls. Oh, yeah. Gears of War Ultimate Edition.
It was okay. For the longest time, I thought was all three of the Gears of War remastered, not just the first one. I got dangled so hard. I was so excited. Got that review copy. Started playing, and when it ended, I was like, wait, where's number two?
And now, if you bought the game before, like, the end of the year, you get all of them. Yeah, Xbox.
And super awesome.
Yeah, but they're just great games.
But, and you can play them on the Xbox One, but I seriously thought it was all three of them remastered. That's why I was so hyped, because like, I'm a huge Gears of War fan, and I don't know. I overhyped myself, because for whatever reason, my brain was like, hey, you get all three Gears remastered. This is going to be amazing. But
whoopee,
it was still good. I mean,
One game that
on anyway. I'm like trying to go through in my head like when things were releasing.
One thing that I really enjoyed that came out in August as well was the Mega Man Legacy Collection. I got this on PS4. It's just having all the classic Mega Man games, 1 through 6. I think there's more to it, but I can't remember off the top of my head. Man, I just realized I'm kind of losing my voice here.
Get wrecked.
Yeah, my wife is sick, and this is the beginning. I'm going to kill you! I love her so much. rage. Die in a fire. But yeah, so that game I thought was a lot of fun. Great value in there, too. I just like the fact that I can now stream playing Mega Man on my PS4. I think that's cool. Another game that came out, which I think was really, really, really fun because people were selling these at retarded prices, was the Call of Duty Black Ops beta. People were selling beta keys on eBay for hundreds of dollars.
That's stupid.
I know, because you just have to go to EB Games, throw down $5, here's your code, go to hell. And, you know, it was ridiculous. And it really showed that the developers at Treyarch were listening to the community when they actually had the game come out in November. They took a lot of the positive comments that had come out of it. They buffed certain things. They nerfed certain things. And Treyarch is definitely listening to people with that game's continued support. So that made me really, 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 really happy.
So, that's probably because the guys that left and did Titanfall, they were like, oh, shit, we can do new ideas.
I think that, yeah, because, yeah, they went from Treyarch to form Remedy, right? Or am I thinking... you're thinking Infinity Ward.
I can't remember which one they came
from. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Infinity Ward. September, great game releases that month. The biggest one, Metal Gear Solid 5, the Phantom Pain.
That's not a very good game. What are you talking about?
Oh, easily... It's hard to pick what my game of the year might have been. It's honestly, definitely top three.
Honestly, I'm going to say that nobody should buy that game unless it's used because you don't want to support Konami.
Yeah, that...
Konami. Yeah. Hashtag fuck Konami.
That's something for us to talk about right towards the end of the episode, things that happened in news. But yeah, Metal Gear Solid 5, it's a great game, just a shitty way for the series to go out because you saw what happened with Hideo Kojima and Konami, how they treated its employees and the canceling of Silent Hills with him and Guillermo del Toro and the outright deleting of playable trailer from the PlayStation Store.
There's rumors that he's gone to, I think it was Sony, and because he's starting his own company, and he was like pitching a game to them, and there's like these fan theories or at least hopes, and I'm on board for this, is that he's gonna do Silent Hills, just name it something different.
Probably.
That would be amazing. Oh my god, I would buy that game. I don't care what the title is. That game looked so good. That trailer was amazing to play through. Scared me shitless.
I still have it on my console. In fact, there were consoles selling on eBay with that for over $2,000 or $3,000.
Well, because it'll be a collector's thing.
Well, here's the thing, though. To do that is technically illegal. Sony was taking down those auctions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I felt like, what the fuck do you care? You got your money for the console. Eat shit. So I found that particularly interesting. Another game that came out, I reviewed this for Rad, and I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought, but big thanks to my friend Ryan for forcing me to sit down and watch this movie. Mad Max Fury Road. But the Mad Max game is repetitious as hell, but it's the world that you're in that kind of sucks you in. And I had such a good time because the way that I approached that game is I did all the side missions first before I went into the main story. So I was ridiculously overpowered fighting these bosses. They're like, you're going to die. And I'm like, fuck you.
That's a tendency to do that in every game you play that's open world.
I really do, yeah. I mean, right now I'm playing Assassin's Creed and I'm way higher than I should be. This is one of the few games where I can brag. I'm like, I'm really good. So I'm tackling these really hard missions. Like, you should be level 9 to attempt this. I'm level 3. And I'm like, stab in the back, stab in the back, stab in the back, come here, stab in the face. And it's working out rather well for me. But yeah, Mad Max was a game I didn't expect to be as good as it was. And I definitely had like, fun with it. Other games that came out that month that are worth mentioning. Destiny, the Taken King expansion. Honestly, the Taken King did a lot for me to get me back in it, and that's all I played at night for, like, easily 2 months, was I'd play Destiny with a bunch of guys online. My friends Brandon and Little Brandon taught me a few things about the game that I didn't know about, so I got some of the super rare shotguns and shit like that. So that was really, really, really fun, and it's something that Bungie proved they were listening. The problem is, though, that's it until next year for Destiny. They're not going to do any more story missions or any more raids. Like, there's the ones against Oryx and the Resurrection of Oryx, and that's it. But there's always shit like the, like, Iron Banner going on, and at least they've added stuff like Sparrow Racing finally, and the Crucible's been fixed. They're also buffing and nerfing things here and there. It's still a fun game. I mean, I think the Taken King took a lot of year one and made it better. However, recently, Bungie put microtransactions into the game where you can spend $30 to get upgraded to level 25 right away.
Fuck Destiny.
Because you have to, because that's the level you need minimum to be competitive in that game. No, like, ultimately, it changed my mind on Destiny was Taken King. I didn't expect to have as much fun with it. Big game that came out that month, and I think this game should be sold in, or should be used in schools in some capacity. Super Mario Maker.
Yeah, it should be used for game design.
Yeah, like, it's a fantastic learning tool. And it's just, it's a really cool piece of what's going to be gaming history eventually. Plus, the sadistic things people do with this game is amazing. Like, there's entire Twitch channels based around this. Like, hey, I'll play your level. Send me your code. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, there's Facebook groups and shit on it, too. Yeah. Like, a lot of my trading groups, they all have, like, they've been trading Mario Maker levels and shit. And I still can't pick up the game because I know if I do, you're not going to see me for a couple months because I'll just be making all kinds of crazy ass levels because it'll be just like picking up a dev kit. And I don't like picking up dev kits anymore.
It's something me and Blair have been like kind of playing with. Like, we're going to build levels together as a couple. And I think that's really cool. The fact that it can bring people together. I mean, Nintendo this year had a really solid year in terms of its releases. Yeah, they were few and far between, but they were all quality. And that really says something.
That's what Nintendo always does, though. And that's why, like, when people are like, oh, why would you buy a Wii U? I mean, like, they're apparently having a new console coming out sometime. And it's like, because all the games that are on Wii U are really fucking good.
Yeah, there's very few shit ones.
Like, you don't have this giant library of crap games that come out with all the other consoles where it's just like, oh, one random third party, well, not even third party, like fifth party developer makes some piece of crap, releases it, and you go into EB Games, you're like, oh, look, here's a giant wall of crap. What one should I try and hope is a freaking hidden gem today? With Wii U, it's like you go to this very small wall at EB Games, and you're like, there's probably 5% of these that I won't actually enjoy.
Yeah, like there are very few bad first party titles for that system, although people were rather underwhelmed by Super Smash Tennis, which just came out, but whatever.
I like, even though I'm defending the Wii U, yeah, when usually I'm bashing it and everything, my Wii U is covered in dust. Well, actually, no, I removed the dust because Cloud came out for Super Smash Bros. So I played that for like 5 hours straight, just smashing people with Cloud.
Do you like him?
He's interesting.
I was more excited for Ryu, but Cloud is definitely my probably third favorite fighter.
He fits my playstyle, but the thing is my playstyle gets its ass kicked by anybody that's fast. So, yeah. I got pretty wrecked by a couple of my buddies. Anyway, it's Gathering Dust again, because I don't know.
Well, that, there's no more Nintendo Directs for it, so Smash has had its life cycle, which is unfortunate. Another game that came out, this one got me in terms of collecting, Lego Dimensions. I really enjoyed this game. I'm still playing it now. The Doctor Who set is one of the best expansions I've ever played for a game because such love and care went into it.
Is that Doctor Who set?
Yeah, yeah. You can have Doctor Who fighting alongside Homer Simpson and Bad Cop from the Lego Movie or something. It's ridiculous.
It's a great combination.
Yeah, like, it's cool. Like, I can't wait until this month because the Ghostbusters set comes out.
Mm.
So, and the Dalek and the Cyberman also come out. Man, I gotta drop some pre-orders soon. Just thinking about
that. Buy your money.
Ugh, so good. But yeah, I mean, that's fun, and a lot of people dig it. Although, one of the worst games of the year came out, which I think... This game was so bad, they wouldn't send me a review copy for it.
That's
and
a
I tried.
Big claim for worst game of the year.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5. How do you screw this up?
I didn't even know there was another Tony Hawk.
Oh my god, there are so many glitch videos on YouTube. It's ridiculous. And this is a series. I fell in love with Tony Hawk 3 on the PS2. I played 4. I played Wasteland. I played Thug 1 and 2. I even played Shred.
I'm actually surprised by this. Because generally, if I haven't heard of a game, that means it did badly. Or just people weren't talking about it. Because I'm pretty sheltered, so I hear of the more hype things. But Tony Hawk games have always been really quality games. That's surprising that it was shit.
Yeah, like, it's utter garbage. I mean, and normally a Tony Hawk game is known for having an amazing soundtrack, and they advertise the shit out of that. I didn't hear any hype for this game. None whatsoever. And the fact that they're still trying to sell it for $50, I think at EB Games they had it half off. It was like 30. Like, fuck you. If it was 5, maybe. Because the physics are so broken in it, and just you clip through everything. It's a bad game. Yeah,
is 90% of what Tony Hawk needs.
And it sucks though because there's really cool DLC for it. You can play as the Ninja Turtles in it right now.
What? I need to look this up.
Yeah, it's supposedly pretty cool in that regard, but no, they dropped the ball on this one hard. October, Broketober. Everybody loves this time of year.
Killed me.
This year had two really expensive releases. Three, if you count Halo. Rock Band 4 made a huge comeback on the next generation consoles. It's okay. I don't like the freestyle guitar solos. I just learned how to turn them off, like, last night. So that's finally fun. Not as good as Rock Band 3, or even 2 in that regard, but hey, it's Rock Band again, I'm happy, whatever. Guitar Hero Live. New guitar setup takes a lot to get used to. And although I do like the idea of Rock Band TV, or not Rock Band TV, Guitar Hero Live TV, where it's just new songs constantly being added, the DLC for it's a little awkward because you're pretty much buying access passes or song plays. If you really want to play a song, here are 10 free play tokens for like $5 or whatever. That's an interesting DLC structure. And I can see where they're coming from with it, where they're like, well, you may only play this song once or twice, so why would you spend $5 on it when you can just spend $1 and play it when you want and be done with it? But like, okay, I get that. Don't agree with it, but I get that.
I always forget that we're like on polar opposites when it comes to non-shooter games that we play, because you're like, oh yeah, the big titles of this month are Rock Band and Guitar Hero. Like, I didn't play those.
Yeah, but
there's like this guy at 5 came out.
That's, what the hell is that?
It's an amazing, funny RPG series that, like, you have a PS4. You should go and grab these.
Yes.
This guy of 4.
Because I have time for that.
Well, I mean, you don't have to grind too much for them. It's mostly about the comedy with the Disgaea series. Like, they break the fourth wall a lot. Like, it realizes it's a game kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's usually really funny. Elite Dangerous came to the Xbox One, which, that game looks so amazing. Basically, do you not know anything about Elite Dangerous? I think it's right up your alley.
Nope!
It's basically a space simulator, and like to the extent that like you can be in a fighter, you can go and collect resources and stuff in it. Like it's full on your space pilot, and you should look it up after this because it. I can't even explain how like awesome it looks, and like. I don't know. And also, Transformers Devastation. I thought you loved that game.
I haven't gotten to that yet.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah.
That's your third one?
Yep. This was an under-the-radar one, because this was announced at, like, E3, and nobody expected it. Plus, it was from developer Platinum Games, who recently did... what was it? Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, which is a fantastic game. They also did the Bayonetta games. Nobody expected this game to be good. Yeah, it's really short. You can beat this game in under 4 hours, easy. But it's ridiculously fun. Like, I've massacred this game. I may even go up to the higher difficulty levels.
Are you sure it's not Transformers Nostalgia Goggles?
You know what? The fact that it's Nostalgia Goggles, but it has such love for the material, it works. It literally feels like you're playing an episode of the show. And there's even little Easter eggs in there that foreshadow events that will happen in the cartoon series. There's one thing where you're playing as Wheeljack, who's one of the characters you can play as. He dies in Transformers the movie, and at one point, this planet's talking to you. It's not Unicron, by the way. It's like the heart of Cybertron or something. And the planet says to Wheeljack, "Your life will be short, but you'll make great contributions." And Wheeljack responds like, "I don't know if I like the sound of that. What do you mean my life is going to be short?" Because he dies off screen in the Transformers movie, but you see his body. And I'm thinking, okay, that's really clever. And the fact they brought back Peter Cullen as Optimus Prime, that's great. Frank Welker as Megatron. But they also brought back the original Bumblebee, Dan Gilvezan, to do the voice too. I'm thinking, all right, you care. You brought back Greg Berger as Grimlock. You care. It would have been nice had they could have got Corey Burton for like Shockwave, but I'm willing to let that shit go. But even the Constructicons, I think most of them are voiced by their original people, or at least people who sounded really good like them.
I grew up with the Ninja Turtles. The Transformers were a little bit past me, so...
Oh, don't worry!
Didn't pick up the game, because I was like... It really seems like a love letter to people that, like, enjoyed the original series.
Well, then I got news for you. Mutants in Manhattan, being developed by Platinum Games, will be like Transformers Devastation, but with Ninja Turtles.
See, I've been looking at that game, and I'm like, this might be good.
I am so hyped for this. Another big thing that came out was the Uncharted Collection. All the original games for the PS4 are now upscaled. One looks amazing. Two and three are just, you know, eh. But worth it. But worth it. Minecraft Story Mode came out.
What is that? I didn't even look into it. I was like, Minecraft, fuck off, because I tried to stay away from Minecraft, because it's another one of those games where I'd probably end up losing my whole life in it.
See, I'm surprised you're not really into the building in, like, Fallout 4. I'm surprisingly into it.
Okay. You know how many settlements there is?
30.
I have all 30 built with stuff.
I think I'm missing a couple here and there, but I think because I've killed certain people, I can't get them, so...
Like, I literally have all of them maxed out, built with stuff, and they all have supply lines, like... Yeah, this is why I don't play Minecraft or other things, because I will get addicted and do that kind of shit. Like, it's bad. Fallout, I still haven't beaten Fallout because I've been doing shit like that.
Oh boy, you're in for, rude awakening. But yeah, it's like Telltale Games, the guys who done like Back to the Future, The Walking Dead, took on Minecraft. I don't know a whole lot about this one. I'm very curious because a girl that I know is the Minecraft head at Microsoft. And I want to get into it. I have Minecraft on my computer because my wife has used it to teach stuff in school, which I think is really, really clever. It's something I don't know whether I'd get into, but considering how much I enjoyed building stuff in Fallout, but then again, it's all pre-made stuff. Like, here's a floor, here's a wall. I don't know if I can sit there and build a floor. You know what I mean? I thought that was kind of cool. That month, we had Assassin's Creed Syndicate. Really fun. Like I said, I'm playing through it right now that I actually have time to breathe as opposed to breezing through it before and just playing enough to talk about it. I really like this game. It's way better than Unity was. It's not as good as Black Flag to me, but I guess that's the setting. But Jacob and Evie Fry are genuinely likable characters. So that's pretty cool. We also had the Zelda game that I think went nowhere. The Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes. I heard nothing about this.
I played it at a Nintendo event, and it was...
underwhelming at best?
I mean, it was interesting, the multiplayer having three people, three different 3DSs, and you had to work together, but at the same time, it was cumbersome. So it was kind of like, hey, come over here, I'll pick you up, and then, you know, the other person will pick me up, and then we can throw each other at specific points, and it's like, this takes really long. Like, to do the simplest fucking puzzle, it took us, like, 15 minutes. Just because you had to, like, hey, come do this. Single player, you do it all yourself. So, it's like, you just keep changing the view of the character, like, from one to the other. So, it's probably not as bad, but it still just felt cumbersome. I don't know.
Another game...
You skipped Yoshi's Woolly World.
Not a bad game, actually. I rather enjoyed this one. It's really simple. I like the fact that there's this casual mode where it covers all the pits up, and it's very hard to die.
You, like, gain wings and shit so you can fly rather than just, like...
Yeah, it's fun, and it's really cute. I actually really, really kind of like this one. I actually want to get one of the big wool Yoshi amiibos at, like, some point. Because they got, like, this giant one. It's, like, easy, like... I don't know, I guess, like, less than, like, a foot tall, but it's still pretty
cool.
They also
have just, like, regular size. I'm not sure if they look like or if they're actually made of yarn.
I think they are actually made of yarn. I'm not 100% sure.
Like, it looks so real, like, yarn that I feel like it might actually be yarn. Like,
one of the games...
It's in different colors and shit, too, so it's really cool.
One of the games we have to talk about, but we have talked about it at length, so it's just worth mentioning. Halo 5 Guardians, fantastic multiplayer, great multiplayer even, shitty story. Because this was one of the most misleading advertising campaigns I can think of in a really long time. Where we're supposed to get this epic battle of Rebel versus, like, the policeman who wants to bring in the Master Chief where he's done some traitorous thing.
Rebel, like, Jesus Christ.
I know, he's like, I don't want to agree with you. Okay, please come with me. No. Please come with me, sir? No!
Like, seriously, they advertised for a completely different game. I swear, like, they, at some point in their development, they're like, we're changing it to this. And they had already done all the advertising, they're like, oh, it'll be fine, nobody will notice. No!
Wrong! Wrong!
Fucking noticed. And I'm pissed. Because there's two different fucking games, and we got the one that it was not advertised for. I want that one that was advertised for. Because it looked way, way better for, like, okay, don't get me wrong. I really love Halo 5. It was fucking amazing. But I want whatever that was that we didn't get.
Yeah, same here. Like, I wanted that chase. I wanted that true throwdown between the Chief and Locke, not just a brief cutscene where I have no action with it.
Well, not to mention, like, he's supposed to be, like... It, like, they basically advertised, like, he did something really bad towards humanity.
No, and he just said, fuck you, I'm going after Cortana. That's all he did.
I'm going for Cortana.
Like, see you later. See you later.
And they, like, even in the actual game, they didn't even make it, like, that big of a deal. It was like, oh, we have to go get him.
Yeah, and then at the end, where they turn Cortana into the bad guy, you're, like, now you're just like...
Spoiler alert.
Fuck you, you've had months to play it.
Yes.
It's like twirly mustache, like, no, no.
But, like...
But anyway.
The thing is, okay, like, we might be freaking out about this, but if you've played Halo 5 and you didn't really watch any of the trailers or anything for it, go and look at all the advertising on YouTube for Halo 5. And tell, like, you send...
Go listen to the podcasts they had kind of set up.
Send me a damn message and prove to me that that was advertising for this game specifically. Like, because if you can friggin' prove it, then, I mean, I'll tip my damn hat to you, but that advertising was not for this game.
Absolutely not, yeah. I was very misled by this. Although, really nice special edition, not worth what they charge for it, though. But the statues are nice. Another big release for me was WWE 2K16. Way better than last year's, but the submission system is complete garbage now. And I can talk about that at length. But it's a game that's worth picking up, but it's got a huge learning curve when it comes to that submission system. I haven't played it since probably November, so maybe they've patched it by now.
The TLDR here is that it's technically a sports game, and they release them once a year, and Dodd just really likes that type of sport, so don't worry about him.
I love wrestling.
You want?
November, big month, as it always is. The big one that came out is Call of Duty Black Ops. We had Fallout 4, Rise of the Tomb Raider, StarCraft 2. A lot of games came out, and a lot of them were really good. Call of Duty Black Ops, the storyline's a little bit weak, but it's better than...
Wait, hold on. A Call of Duty game has a weak storyline?
Hey, advanced...
No fucking way.
Hey, Advanced Warfare, Kevin Spacey, that was fun. Plus Black Ops 1 and 2, amazing stories. Modern Warfare 3, garbage. But still... when your bad guy is the dude from Law and Order, this Detective Stabler is not threatening. just saying. Yo-Kai Watch, an interesting Pokemon-esque game.
Did you actually play that?
Yeah, it's actually not bad.
It's surprisingly fun.
Yeah, like...
It's simple, but actually fun. And it's apparently in Japan, like...
Huge. It beat Star Wars.
Yeah, at the movies, they had a Yo-Kai Watch movie at, like, around the same time as Star Wars, and it beat Star Wars in Japan. So that's how big, like, it is the new Pokemon for them.
Which is astounding.
That's huge. Like, I don't know how much of a following it's going to have over here, but, like, holy crap, it beat Star Wars over there.
Yeah, like, I hope it really kind of catches on.
Star Wars is, like, catching up to, like, it's almost at the point of Avatar for most money made by a movie.
As of today, it beat Titanic. It will beat Avatar, my guess is, probably by the middle of the month.
Which,
probably.
It's nuts. Anyway.
Star
Wars 2, Legacy of the Void.
I have it.
I still have my collector's edition, and it's still wrapped. Oh, I feel ashamed for myself.
Same here. Actually, I just unwrapped it and my Heart of the Swarm a couple of weeks ago. I had that game wrapped for like 2 years.
Oh, well, I've at least played that one. It's just, I don't know, between Fallout and, you know, playing like League and trying to get all the shit ready for this year.
Well, I heard nothing about this game. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even known that it was coming out.
Yeah, I mean... I got it because I really love Blizzard's collector's editions. They come with great art books and all that. So I had to have that. But playing the game, I was like, yeah, it can wait.
Yeah, I'm in no great rush to beat it again.
So. I'm not a huge multiplayer guy, so like for StarCraft, because I just get my ass kicked by, you know, people that are way too good at that. I really enjoy the story. And I don't know, it was one of those things that I haven't been that hyped about the Protoss storyline because I guess I don't really know what's going on. Because like when it came to Heart of the Swarm, it was like, you know, you're going to get some backstory or like you're going to get a lot of stuff about Kerrigan. And there was a rumor that she was going to end up turning back human, possibly turning again back to being the Queen of Blades. There was all kinds of twists and stuff that I heard about. So I wanted to know. But the Protoss, it's like, I don't know, they're fighting some Zerg. Like, okay.
Yeah. Hopefully,
at some point, whatever. There was so many things that month.
My game of the year.
It was October, but November was worse.
I'd say my game of the year came out this month, and that's Rise of the Tomb Raider, the Xbox One exclusive.
Damn, I was trying to cut you off and be like, so, Battlefront? Yeah.
This took everything that made the Tomb Raider reboot great and improved upon it. I was really impressed with this game.
She finally is a Tomb Raider.
Yeah, there's no shortage of tombs, that's for sure. This is a game I actually may get platinum on because I'm so close to getting so many of the achievements for it. And you can do it in one playthrough, too, which I think is really, really cool. And there's going to be a season's pass for it, which I think the big story DLC comes out this month. I'll probably end up buying it. I don't care much for the challenge modes and all that shit because whatever. But it's really worth playing. If you have an Xbox One, it's definitely a must-own for the system. Now,
remember who told me that it was a good game, but Back to the Future, the game, came out too.
Oh, yeah. That
told me it was a good game. Was it you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
What's it about?
The Back to the Future game? It takes place after number three, after Marty gets back to the future. It takes place like 6 months later. They're foreclosing on Doc's house because you're not around to pay the rent, so he has to like take care of it stuff, and it's really cool. It's worth playing out. The 30th anniversary edition came out last month. I think it's on sale still, actually.
It's just, it's so weird that we get a Back to the Future game like when it's not even like no relevance to Back to the Future right now.
Well, I don't know, they are talking about things with that franchise, but we're not going to talk about that. Okay. Another game, this one,
Beyond Two Souls, came out? Or was that just a re-release for PS4?
I think that was just a re-release.
I was going to say, because I'm fairly sure that came out a long time ago.
Star Wars Battlefront. What can be said about this that hasn't been said already? It's a mediocre shooter in a fantastic-looking Star Wars skin.
And sounding.
It's phenomenal. This game looks the part. Dude, it sounds the part. People are
taking wallpapers and shit and like sending them to me. And they're like, dude, like, look at this. And I'm like, is that from the movie? Like, is that like a thing, like a wallpaper they made specifically for the movie or something? They're like, no, it's just a screenshot from the fucking house. What the hell is that?
Yeah, like, it's insane the fact, like, all the cool stuff they've done with Star Wars Battlefront. The thing is, they expect you to pay $70 for the game, another $50 for a season's pass, which they haven't given you any real details about, other than the fact you'll get some new maps, you'll get some new characters, you'll get some new weapons. Who gives a shit? There's no prequel. Well,
especially when the fucking the season pass is like the same price as a game. It's like $70.
It's like 50, but still, it's not worth it. It's so, I mean, Battlefield Premium, at least it gave you something for like stat tracking, and here's some extra shit. If you pre-ordered the game, you get the best gun in the game right off the hop, which is Han Solo's blaster. That does as much damage as an anti-tank weapon. I'm not even making that up.
What the fuck?
And it fires faster. It's ridiculous. I mean, sure, the range sucks, but who cares? Like, you can pop someone once in the head dead. It's retarded. But like I said,
The thing that I'm most upset about with Battlefront is that the past Battlefront games had a lot more stuff to them than this one. Like, they should have at least been able to match the amount of, content that the old ones had. Not being like, oh, we're just going to release it later in DLC. Like, the number of heroes, the number of classes, etc. Like, just everything about Battlefront 2 and 1, just there's so much more there, and that's what made them so great. This Battlefront, yeah, it looks amazing. It sounds amazing. The gameplay might not be, you know, all you've been getting super into Call of Duty and all that, so it's not like perfect Twitch shooting, all that shit. It's still okay. But when it comes down to it, it's just there's a lack of all of it. Like, you're like, oh, everything that's here is amazing, but there's not enough to consider it a full game.
Now, here's something, and I feel very ungrateful saying this. My in-laws buy me one big present a year. They said, okay, it can be like $100 or just a little bit above, right? Typically, I'll go to like a wrestling event or I'll buy a new part for my computer. This year, I chose Star Wars Battlefront.
So that's why you're so salty.
Well, I think there's a line from Indiana Jones 3. He chose poorly. That's how I feel. I feel ripped right off. Now, I played this game about 2 weeks ago. So just before The Force Awakens came out, and at 3 a.m. Eastern time, it should be a little hard to get into a game. A little bit hard, but not impossible, right? And the server list goes, searching for games, looking for games that are 90% full, nothing, 80, nothing, 70, nothing, 60, nothing, 40, nothing, 20, nothing, 10, oh, here's one. 4 players on one team. Waiting for more players. So I decided, like, all right, I'll do an experiment. I will sit here and wait, see how long it takes to get into a game. 15 minutes later, I said, fuck it. This game sucks. And yeah, it may have a boost of popularity from The Force Awakens coming out, but this is a movie year. This game should have had a lot more care taken with it than what it got. Looking pretty is cool. Sounding great is amazing. But if the game sucks, who cares? Fuck! Yeah, I'm so angry about that. Like, it just... It deserved better than what it got. Let me see. We're finally at the end of the month. End of the year. December. Just Cause 3. Ridiculous fun! Holy shit, this game is fun. It's so stupid, it's fun. You blow like shit up!
To, you know, stupid fun, traveling around the map, blowing things up. I mean, you get the same thing, but newer.
Yeah.
Much. And extra shit.
Although, most disappointing for me, Rainbow Six Siege. Great skeleton to the game. Fantastic core. But there's not much meat on the bones, which is shitty. Like I said, I wanted the Tom Clancy story experience.
They're already getting huge sales and stuff on it, too, though. So, like, you almost can't complain at the fact that, like, if you bought it right when it came out, you kind of got boned. Because right now, like, there's so many sales for it that it's like a $30 game. So it's definitely worth that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially if you can get a really good team and if you can play with competitive people. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. But to play it during the terrorist hunt single player mode, you're going to get really tired of that really, really fast. And unless you all have headsets, you're going to have a bad time.
Well, it's a tactical SWAT based game. If you don't have team communication, you're fucked. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
You should be a requirement. If you log into that game, you should have a freaking headset. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, it's just, it's sad all around. So,
you play Chronicles X came out, and we couldn't get a review copy for it.
Evidently, not a lot of people did.
It was on my list of, like, somebody please get me this for Christmas, and I was really hoping it was going to come, and it never came. So now I'm, like, sad.
Yeah, well, it is what it
Thanks,
is.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah.
Canadian. Yeah. Does not apply.
Does not apply. Anyway, guys, we were going to talk about 2016, but we will do that probably next week.
The show has already run pretty long, so we'll make a second episode out of this. Maybe we'll add some other stuff into it.
Absolutely. I would love to keep talking, but I'm losing my voice. So, anyway, guys, like I said...
Because you've been talking so much, you won't let me get away with it.
Well, we've been talking for almost an hour and a half. We're almost there. So anyway, guys, like I said, definitely want to get you guys involved. So 817-717-7202. Email feedback at thisweekingeek.net. You want to get involved. There's also the Facebook page, which you can find at the bottom of this episode post. Or leave us comments here on the website. We do read everything. Our Twitters are at birdman.dot, and yours is?
At DovazX, DovazX.
And you can always find us there. So... Anyway, for the prototype...
You message us on Twitter or on the Facebook page. That pushes straight to our phone, and we're going to reply right away.
Pretty much. I typically reply within, like, 15 minutes. So anyway, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie Johnston saying, screw 2015, I'm expecting 2016 to be even better. Technically, 2015
was really good, but whatever, bye-bye! Fuck Battlefront. Test. Training is my call.
tomorrow.